yeah. All right, I'm going to do my Roseanne and stuff because I'm
get
either.
It out.
I feel like I'm either Liberace or Roseanne Barr.
One or the other. The Connors are coming back.
I can't wait.
America's Favorite Family is coming back. Bruce Helfer, the executive producer of Roseanne, is here. Lisa Goranson, who was the first Becky on Roseanne.
And only. What's up, Chi-Town?
How are you? Good to see you guys. Yeah. Good to see you guys.
Thanks for having us.
Good to be home.
We are excited.
We're so excited. Everyone's excited. It's we need the Connors in our lives.
Yeah, everybody needs Connors in their lives right now.
All right, so go back in time. When Roseanne ended, as you know, it ended a very specific way. We were told things about the future of the Connor family, but now the show's coming back, so you have to kind of double back on some of those facts, right?
Oh, it was all a dream.
It was all a dream.
Actually, part of it was a dream. When you watch the first episode, we actually do address everything carefully because it was very important to Rosie that we covered a lot of stuff. I don't want to give it away because you want to watch and see, mm-hmm. but obviously Dan's alive.
Good.
But we do cover. It wasn't just like we didn't just ignore everything.
So I cried for nothing. Huh? I cried for nothing
never
when
cried
Dan
for
died.
Nothing. Crying is such a wonderful thing, anyway. But it was. You'll see. We cover everything. We even cover Jerry Garcia, who a lot of people don't remember was the new Connor baby.
Yeah, right. So, that's right.
I know. It's like
I forgot.
He was also the lead singer of the Grateful Dead. In case
that's
you guys
where that
forgot.
Name comes. What? From.
Really? He was
yeah. yeah.
Coincidence. Wow, I didn't know he was. That's what he went out to do. but we cover that. We cover a lot of the things that were. But
did
also
they win
the lottery?
Did the Connors win the lottery, or did they not win?
That
the lottery?
Was a dream. That was a dream. That was clearly established in the when she woke up from the dream and she talked about having written the book and mm-hmm. all that. But that was a dream. They never had money. They never will have money. They're going to be struggling
right.
forever.
What year did that debut?
88, I think, was when it first came on.
October 18th.
Look at you.
1988.
I wouldn't know. I'm too
wow.
young.
I am telling
wow.
you, I fell in love with that show. I was always a big fan of Roseanne Barr, and that was kind of, I thought, the coolest family. That was the mom I want to be, and sadly, I became a mom like that.
I think it's great that you did.
Why did you leave? You, everything was going right, and then you were no longer a part of the show. What happened there?
Well, once Bruce came on,
that was
I wasn't really interested in sticking around. You know what
left.
I mean?
I don't know what I said.
No, it was, you know, I kind of, as a lot of you viewers probably know, I'm from Evanston, and I had this wonderful life in Evanston that was cut short almost by my sudden
Your
rise
fame.
To fame.
Yeah.
You know, whatever. But, you know, I had a lot of interests other than acting. I loved being in school. I was a dancer. I'm kind of a jock. I was playing soccer. And I just wanted to kind of nurture the other aspects of myself that were kind of put on hold. And I wanted to be around my peer group again. I was around a lot of loving, nurturing adults. But, you know, it's kind of hard to find a boyfriend and stuff.
Oh, I bet.
And, you know, kind of. I also
did you find one?
I found many. Many.
They found you.
Oh, good.
They found me.
Lisa,
but,
didn't
yeah.
you, during the show, like when you guys were on break, you were like a camp counselor, right? Like in between breaks on the show?
I was Camp Echo in Fremont, Michigan. I would go every summer. And when I graduated from being a camper, I just went up the ranks until I was a counselor. And I also taught Commedia dell'arte at Piven Theater Workshop over the summer. So I was
what
always
is that?
Back at
I'm
home.
I'm sorry, I don't know what that is.
It's an Italian art form. There used to be a theater company here called New Crime, which was started by like John Cusack and Paul Quinn. And they went over, I don't know where, maybe somewhere in Italy, and learned this art form from them, which is a contemporary version of Commedia. But it's basically stock characters,
big
like Harlequino and whatever. And it's just a really, really fun and liberating theater technique to learn. And so that's, you know, I was either in the woods in Michigan or I was at the theater, but I was always around here jumping in the lake or probably doing something stupid.
But how accommodating was the show? Like, when you decided after a couple of years, no, I think I want to come back. Like, a lot of shows would go, no, those days are over. Thanks, but no thanks. But they welcomed you with open arms. That says a lot.
And wrote it in yeah. funny ways.
It yeah. actually wasn't me that asked to come back. It was them courting me.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And I was very much entrenched in my college education at the time. And, yeah. you know, I was doing a lot of theater and my senior thesis and what have you. And so I said, well, if we can work around my college schedule, then let's do this. And then it became tricky because then, I had 3 15-page English papers due on Monday. Jeez. And they said, do you want to go to Disneyland or something or Disney World at the weekend? And I said, okay, guys, this isn't working out. I really have a priority here, which is graduating from yeah. college. So
you are the exact opposite of most people who land on this really popular show. I'd be like, to heck with school.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people are, and it, you know, I feel
good
like
for
it's,
you.
It's really important, I think, for a young actor to realize that being an actor is someone who's also a well-rounded person.
Sure.
Because if you want to play different characters, you're pretty much at a loss if you're a one-trick pony and you're not exploring life. And so I really encourage, I'm, you know, probably blue in the face, no one listens to me, but I really encourage young actors to really fulfill as much education and aspects of themselves as they can so they can bring it to the work.
Yeah. It's like Rumspringa. I mean, they have to go away and be real people for a while.
Yeah.
And it
then
makes
they,
sense,
and then
though.
Come back to it. Yeah, I think it's always a huge dilemma for child actors, and I've watched it happen so many times, where they invest everything in the acting career, and you don't, the truth of it is, how many times do you get a hit show? How many times has it ever happened to you? You've got to be prepared for
right.
the rest of your life,
yeah.
and they don't, and those kids end up very unhappy. Well, I was really sorry to see Lisa go, because I literally just got there in 2 episodes. I had to send her on her way to go get married to Glenn Quinn.
Yeah. Well, what about yeah. that big party I heard you have?
Yeah, we had a huge party, actually. We were really
not, you're not there anymore.
Oh my God, she's gone. The witch is dead. It was really all that stuff. Yeah.
You know what the show did that I thought was such a funny inside thing was there was a scene where after you had left and Sarah Chalk replaced you, the family was watching an episode of Bewitched, and they talk about how they switched Darren's and nobody noticed in the family. I thought that was very funny.
There was lots of justifications for yeah. Trevor bringing that in. For me, it was always difficult. I love Sarah, but the thing is, in a show that naturalistic, I understand why they wanted Lisa to come back. It's just there's breaking that reality is tough, because that show is very real, not like most sitcoms. So.
Yeah.
And you mentioned Glenn Quinn no longer with us. Is he the only one not coming back for the reboot, the revival here?
Yes, and for good reason. He can't come back, but he's not. Yeah, we miss him. And there's a nod to Glenn and mention and a little thing for him. But
and we very much felt his presence very strongly. His family came from Ireland to see the mm-hmm. show. And we had a picture of him backstage, and even people, some of the newbies on the crew, really kind of intuited his energy and presence. We all did, and it was really one of the many, many blessings of being back together is feeling his presence again.
That's really sweet. Roseanne Revival will appear ABC Tuesday, March 27th, this coming Tuesday. I can't wait, 7 o'clock Central Time. But you guys are in town for the 54th Chicago International Television Festival, and that's happening tonight, and the premiere will be shown there?
They're actually going to show 2 episodes.
Wow!
And not even the first. It's going to be 2 of the first. So a lot of people have seen the first episode, critics and things like that. But these episodes have not been seen. And people, it's going to be really interesting to see how people react. It's a radical show. We really tackled a lot of stuff. And as was with the old days, not afraid to make people uncomfortable. So it's going to be
That's why it works, though. It really did.
What do you call it? That's Rosie. That's what she
loved
wanted.
Her.
That's what she
Still
wanted.
Still do.
Yeah. Wendy and I have talked about this without you guys being here, but you're here, so why not bring it up? Trump is kind of a polarizing figure, let's say. All right. Mm-hmm. So
what?
Rosie, no, it's true, Lisa. It's true.
Oh,
Donald Trump is a polarizing
where
figure.
Where have I been?
So I read it in the paper. So Roseanne, both in real life and on the show, mm-hmm. is a pro-Trump person. Did yes. anyone ever say, oh, you know what, we're trying to make people like us, this might not be a good time to pull this off?
No, because one of the things about the show is the reality would be you've got a struggling working class family, particularly a white working class family who
was lost in the mix. addicts.
Yeah, who have been struggling forever. They're looking for any rope out.
Yeah.
I mean, Roseanne's politics are her politics. She's certainly not a follow by the book of any. Roseanne doesn't follow anybody all the way.
Stop it, or I'll grab my crotch again and say.
She, what do you call it? I mean, obviously, she's one of the foremost fighters for women's rights.
Absolutely.
From the very beginning, and gay rights, and all those things.
But that's why we're surprised that she's
pro-Trump.
She doesn't
seem like a Trump fan.
But she also is a huge, I mean, one of her primary causes is the working class.
Yeah.
And I think what we can say about the election is that there was a lot of middle America that felt disenfranchised.
Sure.
And
ditched.
And ditched.
Yeah.
And just plain old ditched. And I think that she, to Roseanne, that is her cause. Those are her people. And it's not just her fan base. It's people that she loves and supports. And I think that that's a big part of it.
The people who would love loose meat.
Yeah.
Yes.
Those people.
The thing about Roseanne, the reason that show so beautifully portrayed that lifestyle is you see lots of TV shows about blue-collar people, but almost always written from some perspectives of somebody who hasn't lived it. You have to see working class as the nobility of the country, and then you get it. And so on that show, that's what it is. And also the discourse between, I mean, obviously, Rosie went one way. Jackie and Darlene were obviously going to go another way.
Right.
I'm not giving anything away. We start the first episode where Roseanne and Jackie haven't spoken for almost 2 years.
Oh, no.
Because of the election. And so we deal with that. So the discourse in the family, the show isn't a political show. It deals with everything as we go along. But in the first episode, we do get into it and what the discourse in the family is. Like, it's going on all over America. There's lots of families that get together and they don't even want to mention politics because they're afraid it's going to blow something up right in the middle of a lovely dinner.
I don't want to mention Tom Arnold, but does he have a cameo?
Nope.
No.
Nope.
Surprising.
Nope, not at all.
I think I just threw up in my mouth.
Lucy Goranson is here. Bruce Helford is here. Roseanne is coming back to ABC. Woo! You can see them at the Chicago International Television Festival. That's tonight. Go to chicagofilmfestival.com for more information. We'll be back in a moment. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Very excited to see Roseanne. It's the Roseanne revival, Roseanne reboot. What are we calling it? Bruce Helford?
We call it a revival.
Revival.
And by the way, here's a segue. Roseanne deals with a knee injury.
Oh.
I wanted to be her.
She had a real knee injury, and we had to address it because she had a limp.
After she votes for Trump,
yes.
Someone breaks her knee in a dark alleyway.
Was it Tonya Harding?
No. But she actually fell, and she fell in a park in San Francisco, I think it was, and like broke her knee, and people wouldn't help her up. They were all walking around going, oh, look, there's Roseanne. She's like on the ground.
Taking pictures of it, probably.
She's on the ground waiting for somebody to help. But it leads to a very important storyline in the show.
Oh, interesting.
I can't wait. Lucy Goranson, actress and executive producer Bruce Helford in the studio. You guys are in town for the 54th Chicago International Television Festival. It is going on March 20th through the 22nd. Is that true? 3 days?
Sure. Sounds good.
All right. But tonight there is a premiere of a couple of episodes of Roseanne. We were talking briefly off the air and I wanted to bring it on the air. Bill, you asked if people kept in touch within
the cast, the crew.
Yeah, sadly for me, I've been on the East Coast around New York City for 20 years, and so everyone else has been on the West Coast. So, you know, save when Laurie Metcalf or John Goodman come around and do a play. But it's just for me, having an excuse to be out in LA and to be around these people that I spent so much of my life with has just been such a blessing. It's like the high school reunion everybody wants to have.
Yeah. Right.
John and Rosie stayed in touch all the time. They've been in touch throughout. But getting everybody on that stage and walking into that room, those rooms
must have been magical.
And it was crazy. And everybody was just, it was literally.
Was it emotional? Did you get weepy and stuff? Like,
I think it was more emotional over time. There were moments of just kind of reflection and, just something like, you know, Sarah Gilbert and I spent every single day together, and we're actually the same age, you know, save 6 months or something like that. But, you know, I haven't been around her in years, and we just realized that, you know, we're sisters and we're so, so close. And, you know, who knows if we didn't have this opportunity, if we would remember. And now we talk all the time. We talk every week. And
good.
So it's just,
It was especially emotional when we finished the ninth episode. And I knew it was getting emotional because John Goodman, who really doesn't speak to anybody, he's a very quiet, private guy, started talking to me. And I'm like, okay, he's obviously feeling some separation anxiety here. We're actually talking.
I have to say something about you, Bruce. When I was a kid growing up, there was a guy named James Komack, and he had this ability of finding stand-up comics and creating shows around him. He did it with Freddie Prinze. He did it with Gabe Kaplan. You've become our generation's James Komack. You just have this uncanny knack of finding people and building hysterical shows around them.
I've been really lucky. I mean, Roseanne was my first big break. That was the first time I was allowed to run a show. I became the head writer and showrunner, and I hadn't done that yet. And so working with her is amazing. After that, it is true, because it's funny, because like Drew Carey, nobody thought, oh, he's never going to be a star. And George Lopez, I don't know about George Lopez. I mean, it was like, so I've been very fortunate.
And the funniest guy on the planet, Norm MacDonald.
And Norm MacDonald, of
who's
course.
Who's also
Norm,
one of our writers,
yes,
still.
Yes, Norm, Norm and Wanda Sykes are writing on the show.
Oh, so,
two of the funniest people.
Wow. Oh, the writing room is one of the, I mean, I have to say to my family, oh my God, I work so hard and I'm up so late. And we're like making jokes all night. I'm hiding the truth. If you'd heard that, kids, I'm really working hard. I don't mean that as a joke.
I'm looking so forward to this. What about new people? I have an 18-year-old son, and we saw the promos, and he's like, Mom, did you like Roseanne? I'm like, oh my God, I loved it. It was one of my favorite shows on TV. He's excited to watch it. He was like, we've got a DVR that's next week. Don't forget. Is there going to be a younger group of people that didn't see the first that will enjoy this, or is this?
Yeah, we were really careful to make it. We didn't take for granted that it'll all be viewers who have seen the show before. Although, like my kids too, they grew up on Nickelodeon, TV Land. They know the characters. And my daughter always said, it's so different, Dad. That just feels weird and different than other shows. Right. It's like real. It doesn't feel like.
Yeah.
So I think there's an attraction, first of all, to the reality and naturalism of it. I think this generation likes hearing that. They want to hear the truth. They don't necessarily want to be entertained just to be distracted. Also, we've got Emma Kenney on the show from Shameless. She plays Darlene's oldest daughter. And so she has her own crazy following.
Oh, my God. Darlene has a daughter. Oh, my God.
A daughter and a son.
A 17-year-old daughter.
Wow. Oh, my God. I'm
so. And we were very careful in the first few episodes. We kind of restate the situation so that people can get it. If you haven't watched a show before, you'll definitely understand what's going on. It's also, it's a family show. It's a family dynamic that's always kind of a given. But we let everybody in. And I'm sure there's going to be a contingent of young people who like that we're tackling stuff that nobody wants to talk about.
Oh, yeah.
It's also helpful because there's been like a lot of crappy sitcoms since our show went off the air.
Right.
So we have that going for us.
What you really mean.
Sitcoms went away. It was just reality shows and sitcoms weren't funny. So there are a few, but I'm very anxious to get you guys back. There is a website, abc.go.com/shows/Roseanne. You can just Google it and find the website. It's ABC. Also on Twitter for Roseanne, at Roseanne on ABC, and this all debuts ABC this coming Tuesday, March 27th at 7 Central. I cannot wait. And you guys have a great time tonight. Tickets for this Chicago Film Festival are available, correct? You don't know anything?
I will
say.
Only $10.
The fun's going to be we're going to introduce them and we're going to talk about the show so people can ask you questions about the episodes as we go through it.
Let me throw the website out there in case you're interested. Go tonight, ChicagoFilmFestival.com. That's ChicagoFilmFestival.com. Such a pleasure to meet you both. Congratulations.
Pleasure. Thank you very much for having us.
Thanks, guys. So much. Go Cubbies.
Yes.
No, yes. I like the Sox. Can't I just say go Chicago?
My dad went to Marshall High School. I'm a Sox fan. We have arguments about this all the time. But Louis Aparicio was my guy. I love Donnie Banks too. But
now.
I never hear the
end. And you call yourself a Chicagoan.
We're going to fight.
At least he's good here. She knows how to get the last word in, doesn't she? Great job.
Thanks, guys. Great to meet you both.
Roseanne.
News is next. Then more
show. That's good,
Bill and Wendy, WGN.